Hello guys, welcome to the Blackspin Global podcast, and I'm Lucy.
I'm Eugene.
And welcome to a new episode. I know if you're a regular listener, you're probably confused a little bit. Like, wait, hold on. There's nothing wrong with your Spotify, nothing wrong with your Apple phone and everything. Nothing wrong at all. We just felt like, you know, it's been an eventful week with ATP, WTA being back, and also US Open, of course, being back as well. So it was only right to drop an episode. But before we go further, I think it would be great if we dedicate this podcast to the one and only Chadwick Boseman.
Oh, yeah, well said.
I know that it's just a tennis podcast, but his legacy would definitely live on, and what he has done kind of also relates to what we're doing. Do you get what I mean? Like, he's done a lot in different movies for, like, you know, everything that he has done in terms of his career, especially Black Panther. That meant a lot to the entire world. It changed the film industry. It changed Black community, it changed the culture, it changed things in so many ways. I wish I could go on and on. The impact that he had alone with one movie,
it's huge. No, well said, Lucy, definitely.
Rest in peace to him, and love, and to his family and to his wife as well. Indeed. So let's get started, Eugene.
Oh, yes indeed. Like you said, what a week it's been, man. Like,
you know what, it's been a very we should have been recording this podcast with like a bottle of wine. Ray and nephew, who knows, maybe a joint, right? Like, who knows, because it's been a long week.
It's been, yeah, a lot has happened,
and it's only Saturday. I'm kind of scared of what's gonna happen tomorrow.
It's mad. Well, to be fair, nothing's happening tomorrow because it's the day before the US Open, so
yeah.
But yeah, I think it's only right we start in Cincinnati, the Western and Southern Open, which is currently being played in New York, obviously. And the kind of events that took place, I want to say it was Wednesday night, but yeah, basically we all know Naomi Osaka, she boycotted the event, basically following the kind of actions.
Well, she boycotted her semi-final.
Yeah. So she boycotted her semi-final match after beating Annette Kontaveit in the quarterfinals.
Yes.
And then literally a few hours later, like I said, following the NBA, it was the Milwaukee Bucks, that refused to play their match or their playoff tie. I can't remember the team they're playing, but yeah, they refused to play in protest over the killing, or not killing, the shooting of Jacob Blake, sorry, who is currently in hospital, paralyzed,
fighting for his life,
pretty much. And like another thing as well, which is like incredible, but there've been numerous reports saying that he's basically handcuffed to his bed.
I heard that. That's like, crazy.
Which is like, just,
I'm not gonna lie, when his story announced, I had to block him.
Yeah.
Because I was kind of, I even posted something on my IG and my Twitter, like, guys, please, like, try not to. It's not, I don't find it normal that we can pick up our phone, scroll, and see a Black man being shot. Like, it's becoming, like, too regular.
That's what I'm saying. That's the whole, like, point of, like, or, like, reason why we have, like, the Black Lives Matter movement. Mm-hmm, because... Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, as Black people, like, we're kind of becoming used to this whole, like, all these kind of scenarios, which is, like, just, it's ridiculous, to be completely honest. And, like, I've already kind of expressed my views on, like, the whole tennis world and, like, their reluctance to kind of get behind the movement, which is quite sad, considering a lot of the players have been so vocal. We've spoken numerous times about, like, the various players, Naomi Osaka being one, obviously, Coco Gauff, Francis Tiafoe on the men's side, Felix Auger-Aliassime as well, Sloane Stephens, Madison Keys, Serena, like the list goes on. Literally every Black player basically has spoken
highlight
out.
On Black.
every Black player has literally spoken out in some form, or some way, shape or form. Mm-hmm. And yeah, like the ATP and WTA reluctantly have like kind of supported like from afar. I say support exactly, like tentatively.
I won't say support, they just said something.
Yeah, or basically retweeted, but like they haven't given like a proper statement, like, which is what I'm looking for.
I mean, they did, they just didn't follow it.
I mean, you could say that, but yeah, I just think the whole thing is farcical, to be fair. And just, we've spoken a lot about like Osaka in terms of like her stance and like, you know, what she's kind of achieved on the court, obviously, which is a hell of a lot. She's like the highest paid female athlete right now.
She's a wonderful, let me just clear, sorry, I have to clear that out, because I'll tell you this, like, before we got on air, because when she was playing, I don't know who, which match she was playing, and for those who are in the UK, we have Sam Smith here just talking nonsense at her, saying that, yeah, you know, Naomi Osaka had like a difficult 2019. And to be honest, she wasn't the only one. I personally noticed that a lot of the tennis media has been talking as if Osaka has been fumbling badly. Don't get me wrong, she had troubles last year, especially after Australian Open. It was a bit all over the place. She switched her coaches like 2-3 times. But are people forgetting she won a slam after winning her first one back to back? She did still win two more tournaments where she had no coach as well.
Well, to be, her dad was coaching her.
Her dad was coaching her. So it was a bit of her dad and her. Mm-hmm. And she's literally the highest paid female athlete at the moment.
Yeah.
So I really do not understand, like, what more do, because give me someone who's as consistent as her at the moment from the WTA.
On the women's side.
Go.
I mean, you could kind of say, terms, I guess,
the slams, go.
Okay, yeah, slams, yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
That Kenin girl, I don't know if she's going to win a slam again. I don't know. But Osaka, if she's going to play, she is going to win. She got two in her bags. And believe me, she's going to have more than two. So, you know, the way they've been talking about her on court even lately has just been off, in my opinion. No, it's been very irritating, because she's a great, fantastic player. And that's my issue with tennis, that the moment you fall off just a little bit, it's like they forget about everything that's happened before. Like, literally, because of them, I forgot that Osaka won a slam in January.
No, I hear
2019, that was last year.
I want to talk about Osaka, obviously, like, in, I guess, more length later on, but just on what she did. So the boycott, like, when you found out, like, what was like the first thing that went through your head? Like, how did you feel about that, basically?
I was so happy and so proud and so excited. I have been a fan of Osaka before even people knew even before, like, about her. And I was empowered in so many ways, because it's like, wow, like, compared to other sports, what she did, fair enough, there's different sports that did the same, NBA, blah, blah, blah. But with Osaka, it's completely different. Because NBA, there might not be a lot of black people at the board, but it's full of black players. Mm-hmm. They know themselves. Like, it is literally a stereotype.
Mm-hmm.
You see a black man, he knows how to play basketball. Do you get what I mean? Because of that. Whereas Osaka is playing a sport that literally only has white people. The fact that someone like her, who's not even, I mean, she's big, but she's not as big as like a Serena, a Federer, so on. The fact that she was able to lead that was just phenomenal, like, to me. Like, I literally have no words, you get what I mean? So what people need to understand as well, she was alone when she did this. Forget that little statement you saw from WTA and since it's tennis, like, out here talking about, you were here standing with blah, 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 blah. They ain't standing with shit. I'm saying just for free. They're not doing anything. So she was literally alone.
Yeah.
And I don't think she really realized what she did.
No, that's a good point. I think as well, what you just said.
I think she was just like, I'm not, like, she probably got off court, saw all that and be like, why am I playing as well? No, I'm not playing. And then all of this happened. She probably was like,
huh.
Whoa, what did I do here? Do you get what I mean? Because even on one of her press, she was like, it's not like I was trying to lead anything. She even admits something that, and I admire so much when she said this, because not a lot of people would admit that, because she said, I am not a leader, I'm a follower. And you don't really hear a lot of people saying that.
That, but like, we've really spoken about her, like, her honesty and like how transparent she is.
And
like,
I love that, because there's nothing really wrong being a follower. Do you get what I mean? But people made it seem like it, especially social media and stuff. But she was like, listen, I'm not a follower. Like, I'm not a leader. I'm a follower. That's what everyone was doing. And it's like, why am I not going to bring it to tennis? Do you get what I mean? It's not like this is it's not like it's just a slam. Okay, fair enough. It's a Masters and everything, blah, blah, blah. But honestly, kudos to her. She did start at something anyways, because someone like Tsitsipas, for example, he said that he called her to get a better understanding, even though it's 2020, homeboy. He don't need to call nobody to be asking about police brutality, something that's been happening for years. You've seen, you can't tell me today, I don't care if you're white, black, brown, alien, you can't tell me you can pick up your phone and you have not seen a hashtag. You did not see those black boxes everywhere like a couple months ago or a couple weeks ago. Do you get what I mean?
No, completely.
So
completely.
She did start something, although it was... It was weird because you saw how everyone was supporting her, but in the actual tennis community, like, it reminded me why I hate and love this sport at the same time. Because that's... from the players to the fans on Twitter and Instagram, the Instagram comments were...
I refuse to, like, look at comments. Crazy. I refuse to, like, look at responses.
They were just so ignorant.
Mm.
They were just so insane. But then again, you then look back and you look at Osaka like, wow, this is what you've done. Do you get what I mean? Like, you've literally created history, as in this is something that you paused tennis.
Completely.
As in you said tennis, nope,
mm-hmm.
because a black man got shot.
Straight.
You can't tell me that's not big. That's huge. Do you get what I mean? Like, it's bigger than, I feel like compared to even the NBA people, it is way bigger than what she's done because she was on her own.
I think on that as well, like with the NBA, like we shouldn't, and we've kind of maybe discussed this in the past as well, like we shouldn't be so quick to kind of give like leagues or like team, no, I say leagues in this case, the credit, because it wasn't the NBA that boycotted, it was the players.
It's
the same in
this
instance.
I said NBA, I'm talking about the players. You're definitely right.
And what you just said about Osaka is 100% true, because like you said, it's one woman like that's literally stopped tennis. So when you really like deep it, it's like that's like an incredible feat. And like in her statement, she did say that basically she said, before I'm an athlete, I'm a black woman.
When I read that line, so like, I'm not going to lie, my heart was like, boom, 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 boom.
All this talk about, she's Japanese and like, Haitian. Like, she acknowledges herself and recognizes herself as a black woman. Like, and I think we kind of need to appreciate that.
Because that's how they see her anyways.
This is the thing. So, that was one of the most powerful things she said. And also in the same statement, basically she said that if she can get the conversation started in a majority white sport, I consider that a step in the right direction. Again, like, we all know the reason why this platform even exists is 100%. Because there aren't that many, you know, black players in it. So the fact that she's literally willing to boycott and make a statement to literally bring attention to, you know, the plight of black people. Like, I just think I can't, like,
in
give
tennis,
her enough credit.
That's what
man.
I'm saying.
Like,
I don't
honestly,
think people are deep in it. In tennis,
this is the thing. So,
guys, in tennis, you can count with the amount of black, easily count within 2 minutes or even a minute how many black people there are playing in tennis right
like,
now.
Like, just off the top of my head right now, like, so obviously US Open starting on Monday, there are just 4 black guys in the main draw. Like, so again, that tells you all you need to know. And there's over 100 odd players in that main draw. On the women's side, we are fortunate there are a few more. But again, the numbers aren't, it's not enough. Like,
it's
so,
not enough.
Yeah, like, shouts out to Osaka, like, massively. Because
honestly,
what she's doing like right now, and not just Osaka, but like obviously Osaka this week was, because that's like the topic of what we're talking about. But before Osaka, obviously...
all the black athletes.
This is the thing.
Because a lot of them got smoke afterward, like, oh, I thought you guys were protesting. I thought you guys were da 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 da. It's like, listen, at the end of the day, what you guys are forgetting, we don't know what's behind closed doors.
Completely.
They must have pulled out the biggest threat. I don't think I understand. White people see us as threats. So that is why they do everything to make sure that we don't fulfill. That's why the system is what it is. That is why, you know, like, do you get what I mean? Most of them are only agreeing on this because they want to, it's a PR thing.
Yeah.
Like, they don't want
to
be looking bad because
they
see
how to be on the right side.
Companies
exactly.
have literally failed completely, or even people, brands have failed completely because they've not supported black people.
But one thing I want to like say as well, like, it's not down to black athletes to solve racism. Like, what they're doing by boycotting is such a huge thing. Like, it's bringing attention to the issue. So I don't want people getting it twisted, saying, okay, well, you know, what's the next, like, stage? What's the next plan now? Like, what are their plans going forward. It's not up to them to, like, you know, basically come up with...
They have the influence,
with,
they have something.
And that's what I'm saying. That's what they've done by boycotting. They've used literally the influence and platform they have to say, you know what, we're not going to play today. Like, and it's in protest of what's going on to, like, our black brothers and sisters. Like, so... Again, I can't put enough...
I can still understand why if people are frustrated, but I still would really like it if people still appreciated what they did.
No, yeah, completely.
They could have just continued playing.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm someone where, me personally, some of you might not agree by listening to this, but I'm someone where I'm always like, even with Eugene, sometimes he'll be like, that wasn't enough, blah, blah, blah. Like, for example, the whole Lexington thing, the Black Lives Matter thing, you were not really feeling that. Whereas someone like me, I was like... You know what? It was still something, because when I was reading my comments, these people were angry. And so you need to remind them, like, listen, black lives do fucking love.
Even in the Cincy event, like, they've got the whole...
They had that little one, yeah, it was, yeah, it was definitely like 2 seconds it was there, yeah. And it's like, keep it. And speaking about that, let's actually go to them and that stupid fucking statement. I'm going to swear a lot on this pod because I am actually pissed off. So they released a statement after Osaka said that she wasn't going to play. Yeah. And that statement was two packs of arse, because one, they did not acknowledge Osaka. They made it seem like it was their decision. Do you get what I mean? Two, they said that, you know, they stand behind blah, blah, blah.
Tennis is collectively taking a stance against racial inequality and social injustice. That's the official line.
Guys, that is the statement that they decided. No one forced them. We were all here chilling, minding our own business, and they gave that statement. Now, Eugene, please tell me why on the following day, when they actually played, when players were done with their matches, they went and told the press, please only stick the questions relating to the match. Yeah, nothing else. As in, they were putting pressure on the press not to ask any questions about the whole thing that happened, which doesn't make sense, because if that didn't happen, that yesterday, they would not even been asking them. They won't even be there.
Completely.
They'll be chilling because,
but like, yeah, again,
their finals today.
You see, that's what goes
so
back to.
So even besides the fact that you don't want to cover the black, it doesn't make sense because you have to ask, because it, like.
What
so
side
how
are
can you
on?
Release like, that statement and then you're saying they can't, like, read the fucking room, bro? Do you get what I mean? Stuff like this pissed me off, because it's like, you should have just, you know what, you should have just even carried on with the tournament. Should not even release that statement.
And again, like, apparently there were players that were, like, kind of, well,
annoyed.
Like, at the fact that, yeah, there was a pause in play.
And, guys, I understand it can be annoying, especially the fact that a US Open is next week. Yeah. But what's more important, the fact that US Open is next week and you can actually play, or the fact that black people are being killed recklessly
by the fucking feds? Yeah.
Anyhow, a man got shot in front of his 3 kids, where actually even people, apparently his family even released a statement saying, well, I don't know if this is true, but apparently released a statement how the kids actually need professional help because they are not dealing with this.
I wouldn't be surprised.
They are
traumatic.
Little fucking toddlers. And these people are complaining are parents themselves. So can you actually imagine? And now he's on hospitals, at a hospital, handcuffed, fighting for his life. And these fans are out here still living and still living their lives. And you're telling me you're upset because you can't play tennis. Are you stupid?
Which is absolutely wild. But no, I think, kind of fast forwarding to where we're at right now. So obviously Osaka made it all the way to the final. So she literally came out and played Elise Mertens on Friday, won in straight sets. Like, it was a really good performance considering literally everything she's been through.
The second set was a bit...
Yeah, it was...
Definitely.
Yeah.
Everything that she went through,
but
that
like,
was...
Yeah,
yeah,
all things considered, like, she played pretty well. Mm-hmm. So, again, a massive shout-out to her. Then, obviously, the final today, which was meant to be against Victoria Azarenka. Which we all were, definitely. Osaka, unfortunately, had to pull out due to, I think it was a hamstring injury.
Yeah, yeah.
And she did...
There was a stage in the match.
Yeah,
she did,
like,
yeah.
Everyone
remember
saw,
seeing it. She pulled it. Like, you could see it. So
we just hope, obviously, that doesn't mean she has to kind of put the US Open. Like, yeah.
You better get that special massage, get everything. Listen, you're rich.
Speedy recovery. Like,
you better get the best physiotherapist in New York right now, fam. In the whole States, even.
So, yeah, like, we wish Osaka nothing, but, like, yeah.
A speedy recovery.
A quick, exactly.
Very... very quick,
smooth
recovery.
Healing process, please.
Please, man.
But yeah, I think. What were your views on the Western Southern Open in general, like as a tournament? Because obviously, it's the first time it's been played in New York, like in this bubble. Like,
yeah.
No fans as well, which is weird. But
I think, to be honest, I think it went well.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it way more than Lexington. I think because it was nice to see the mix of the men's playing.
I think everyone always says that. Like, it's just nice having the men and women there at the same time.
So like, it's very hard for me to say something positive. Now, you should have asked me this earlier before this stupid statement. I'm not gonna lie, but besides all of that, I think, you know, it went well. It went pretty well. I think some players are... The one thing I don't like is the stupid rules about the whole coaching thing.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Like,
it's very
they
confusing.
Can talk, but they can't talk. Yeah. They can do this, but they can't do this.
I think that
to me, it's literally, coach or not coach. Yeah. Do you get what I mean? Yeah, like, don't say, oh, yeah. And I don't get what's the point if... I don't get why they can't coach them. Like, they can easily come with their mask on. They're all sticking... That's the thing. To me, it doesn't really make sense because... When they're not on court, they are like this. They're literally close to each other. Yeah. They're in the same room. They're probably sharing the same stuff. Like, who... Do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
I think it's just a thing where they don't want to show it on TV to avoid any issues. But then these people are playing football and basketball and their sweat is all over each other. So I really don't understand how there's an issue with, like, you know, in terms of... If you both have your mask on or he or the coach has the mask on, then I don't know.
Yeah.
Or maybe allow coaching when they finish the first set, because then they have a longer break. Because putting on your coat, your mask and switch it off while you're trying to recover might be a bit long. So I think
you're for on-court coaching then, basically.
I've always been.
Yeah.
I feel like it's great. Do you get what I mean? Before I was always a bit 50-50, but I think after I had a conversation with you as well, I was just like, I just don't get it. If I should sit down and think about all the other sports,
yeah, that's true.
It's allowed. Like, yes, I get that it's a you know, like a sport that you play alone, like you're independent, blah blah blah. But I think I like it. Yeah. I like that interaction. Do you get what I mean? And sometimes it helps, sometimes it doesn't, sometimes it doesn't really make a difference. But I still feel like
I hear you.
I'm for it, but I think they need to keep it. Well, now it's over, but US Open, obviously you're not allowed coaching and stuff, but I feel like it would have made sense if they had a clear rule.
Yeah.
You don't coach or you coach. Pick one of the two. You can't be like the rules were just too messy. And even the players were like, even like confused and stuff.
No, there definitely has been a lot of confusion. Back on the play, on the men's side anyway, so we had Francis versus Andy Murray in the first round. Oh. That went to three sets.
I hated that so much.
Oh, it was tough to watch because Francis played so well, like in the first set, and
he did.
The second set again, such a high level.
What do you think Francis needs to do in order to? Because this guy, when he plays well.
No, this is the thing. Like, he's got all the talent in the world. Like, for me, it's just a mindset thing. Like, and just staying like focused. Like, yeah, like literally for the whole duration of the match. Because like, there's no like doubting his talent, like he's
100%. That's the thing. I think that's why sometimes it's a bit not confusing, but it's a bit like raw. Like it's a bit like Stevens. Do you get what I mean? She has like this girl when she's playing, but then again, I think you're right. I think it's really just the focus.
I think for him, it's like just literally just staying zoned in, like for the whole duration.
So do you think someone like him might benefit more of the crowd?
Possibly.
I think he would have won that first round if he thinks he's American.
I was thinking the same thing. That's a great point.
COVID. You ruined everything. You ruined everything.
That's a great point, because that's something I wanted to ask Zach Ebenden, his coach. Mm. That's something I didn't get around to
asking.
And
guys, sorry, if you haven't checked it out, in our last episode, our previous episode, we have an exclusive interview with Francis Tiafoe's coach, Zach Ebenden. But carry on, Eugene.
But yeah, like I was really impressed with Francis's level, like in that match against Murray. And obviously Murray is like literally he's up there with Federer, Nadal, Djokovic. Like,
this is a Sir Andy Murray stan account, guys. So it's Blacksmith Global, but we stand for Andy here.
So I wasn't completely surprised at like the end result.
Yeah, no, you can. I personally was.
Okay.
Mainly because actually 50-50, because obviously his hip and everything.
Yeah.
The only reason why I was still like, I think he's going to win this because of his performance during Battle of the Brits.
Okay.
So for those who don't know, they did like a quick little exhibition in the UK here before the whole thing, and I was watching some of his matches, and he was playing I couldn't believe he was moving up and down like this. And guys, sorry, right now Djokovic's final is on, and he might win this, and I'm gonna lose it. But
after losing the first set 6-1,
guys, I don't know how. I said if he wins this, he's a witch. But anyways, let's carry on. But yeah, so I was really surprised, like, with the way that he was playing. So that's why I was a bit like, okay, he might win this, he might not. But as much as I was, you know, sad about Tiafoe, you know, not winning, which hit me more when he, because at the beginning I was like, I don't know what to do, because, like, you know, I love them, but I definitely wanted Tiafoe to win more because he's American, he's black, this is a black spin global, emphasize on a black. But, you know, but when he lost, I was like, shit.
Yeah, I felt it for him.
Felt it, because before I was like, because you know when you have your two favorite players playing each other, you're just like, okay, well, whoever wins. But then when one player loses, you're like, But like, if Andy lost, it would not hit me like that. Definitely not, because Andy, I know, you know, you won your slams, you're okay. Did you get what I mean?
I was just, if anything, for me, the biggest takeaway, and like, Francis should be happy, is, well, the level he played at.
100%.
So it kind of shows, because he was playing a lot
of good smart moves like,
yeah. And you tweeted that, like, saying he played a lot of smart shots, and it's true.
Damn, like, I was like, all right, okay, yeah, you can see that you've been working during the lockdown. So I think US Open, he'll pull it through. Yeah. If he just stays focused, he will definitely pull it through.
And then Felix Auger-Aliassime, he got to the second round. So he beat Bashidis Vili in the first round, and then he lost to Tennis Sandgren in the second round, and that was tough.
Do you know what pissed me off? Sandgren did not actually deserve to win.
No, definitely not. I know Felix. Anyone who watched it
must, like, even if you're a fan of him, you should know he did not deserve it, because that first set was horrible.
Yeah.
He wasn't. It's like he had no plan, guys. It was like he was just hitting the ball. I was like, what are you doing?
Yeah, I thought Felix had wrapped that up in straight sets.
Literally, when I was thinking, I was like, he got this. And then when I checked, I was like, whoa, what's going on?
But again, with Felix, I can't, like, sing that guy's praises, like, enough. Like, for me, one of the most talented guys, like, in men's tennis at the moment. Again, 100%. With him, he just needs to, it's the same thing mentally. He just needs to basically stay switched on. Like, because again, he's got all the shots, like, all the talent, like, great serve when it is functioning. The ground stroke solid off both wings, great move, obviously, like, but again, it's just when he gets to, like, certain stages and matches where, like, it gets close or tight, like, he can kind of maybe lose it a bit mentally, but that comes,
but he's young as
that's
well.
What I'm saying, that will come, that, like, will in terms come, of, yeah, like, more, yeah, experience, yeah. So I'm not worried at all
100%.
And I feel good about his US Open prospects, which we'll talk about later on. On the women's side, so Sloane, she lost in the first round.
Anyways.
And that was a tough match against Caroline Garcia, which we did kind of say that was going to be the case. Also, Madison Keys, defending champion. She won this event last year, but yeah, she did lose in the first round this year, which was unfortunate. And then obviously we had Venus also lose in the first round to Diana Yastremska.
Yes.
Which we spoke about, blackface.
And there, and was, do you know what? I remember saying, Eugene, like, I'm pretty sure she did not see that blackface post. Because if she did, she would have beaten her there and then. But it's okay. But
no, again, that was a good match. Because that was three sets as well.
Yeah, it was.
Pretty good level.
And she was injured a bit at the end.
Yeah, yeah. So, fair play.
But anyways, Osaka knocked her out.
Indeed. So she got, Osaka did us.
She did the job. She saw the post. See, Osaka saw the post. All Venus had to do was to see Instagram and Twitter. Oh gosh, that was a horrible situation.
And then Serena. Oh man, Serena. Started off against, I forgot who she played in the first round. Arantxa Rus. That was in the second round, because she got a bye into the second round. So it was Arantxa Rus she played in the second round.
She got three sets.
Went to three sets.
And then the next one.
And then it was Maria Sakkari. Was it Sakkari? Yeah, it was Sakkari, wasn't it? In the third round.
Yeah. The Greek girl. Yeah.
Who, for me, probably the most informed player, like, this week with Osaka, for me, like, in terms of just the way they've been playing. Like,
I didn't watch any of Sakari's.
Because she played Coco in the first round.
Oh, okay.
She played Coco in the first round, yeah. And then, am I getting this wrong?
No, you're not. No, I'm just trying to remember if I watched. I'm trying to remember why I didn't watch the Coco match. I think she was on the same time as someone else. Because the first round, I was watching a lot of matches around the same time. But, yes, Sakari did play well.
Yeah, I was just like, I wasn't that surprised to see her give Serena a tough time, just because, you know, she's clearly like feeling herself. It was difficult kind of seeing Serena kind of choke, I guess you can say, like, to a point.
I don't know, but on the first set, like, she was...
No, man, she was on it.
That's why I was like, oh, yeah, this is going to be an easy win.
I said it to you, I was like, yeah, she likes night matches. I thought, yeah, this is going to be like comfortable, straight sets. Like, and the way she started that first set, I was like, okay, cool, we're good. Served for it in the second. I think she was 5-3 up.
And then
she just like kind of fumbled. But
and I was so, personally, guys, I was so heartbroken. It was late. I was tired. I was upset. And I was like, Eugene, I am going to bed. So when I woke up and heard about what happened during the third set, I was just like, okay, first is like, what the hell's going on? Two, maybe it was a good thing I went to bed, because I was really so exhausted. Like, I was literally forcing myself, keeping myself up. But
it was a lot to watch. Like, I don't want to say she was tanking, because I don't really like
but
that.
But a lot of the fans were saying that, though.
But I can kind of understand, because, like, from literally being in a position where you're serving for the match, she probably had match points, to be fair. I'm going to say she did. And then for it to literally go to a deciding set, like...
But that's why I was a bit more annoyed, because obviously I didn't watch the final set, but I was reading the tweets where people were like, oh, she... I think there were times... Wow. Sorry, guys.
Novak.
Djokovic.
I fooled it for Raonic as well. That's tough on Raonic, man.
You know what? Anyways.
It's tough on Raonic.
Anyways, so... yeah, so I know, like, people said there was some bit during the final set where, like... I think, what's her name? Sakari. She had like some match points, and Serena was just...
I think she saved like...
She saved like...
Five or
six like
match points.
Yeah, she saved like a lot of match points. That's what I'm saying. So when I've read that, personally, that got me a bit upset, because it was like, maybe if you actually put it into your head that you could win this or put in more work... You probably would have won it.
I think
because your body is not used to losing.
To Serena's credit, and obviously we love Serena here. Obviously, there's no secret. After the match, she did say that, like, it's clearly just a mental thing. Like, she doesn't know what's wrong in terms of like her being not able to close matches. So for her to like acknowledge that again, it shows that she knows. Yeah, she knows what the problem is. Like, it's not her shots, like, or her play on the court. It's literally mental. So it's like a psychological thing. She needs to figure out, basically.
And the thing is, guys, I have been saying this from the beginning. I've been saying this from the get-go. It's literally just a mental block.
Completely.
And it makes sense, because there's her who, you know, Serena puts pressure on herself. When you're great and you're perfectionist, that's how it always is.
It's the price of being great, indeed.
Exactly. There's the pressure from the media, from even, who knows, even your... You never know. Serena might be chilling and one of her friends coming up to her be like, so when are you getting at 24 finally? Do you get what? You never really know. Yeah, there's that pressure from, like, you know, like, probably her business people saying, yo, this might affect your money. But then again, Serena's... Do you get what I mean? Like, you just...
I think her money's good, to be fair.
Her money
but...
is good, but I'm just saying that
people
are not looking into this thing. So there's
we'll never know.
Pressure.
Like,
we'll never know. You know, she's just... She hasn't... And people forget, she didn't really take her time to adjust to her new body, because
motherhood
changes
completely.
The moment you give birth, and she had a lot of complications. She literally nearly died. Like, there's so many things you need to look at, so I can understand. Do you get what I mean? I just wish she didn't get that pressure.
No, I hear that.
Really and truly.
And that's well said.
I mean, you look at Azarenka, she gave birth four years ago. Today was the first time she won a thing. And she probably wouldn't have won it if Osaka beat her. Let's keep it real. No, do you get what I mean?
I agree with that. 100%,
it's not like she
played
the match and won. We still don't know if she actually even... So to me, clearly, she didn't really win anything, but she did. It's all right. Do you get what I mean?
I think you can put an asterisk by that one. If we're going to put asterisks by by a win, tournament wins, but... Yeah,
but
I think yeah.
But I've been saying it from the get go. I've been saying it's honestly just a mental block, because if she's able to move the way that she's been moving, there's nothing else that's stopping her but that mental block.
100%.
So the moment she's able to get that, it's over for you, bitches.
I think that's a nice way to kind of wrap up the Western and Southern Open. But again, like, a huge shout out to Naomi Osaka, because, and I posted something earlier today just saying that. Literally what she did is like bigger than the game, like it's bigger than tennis, like,
yeah,
and what you like brilliantly described is the fact that tennis is an individual sport, like it's not a team sport like the NBA or WNBA or
NBA
MLB
players, they all walked out together
as a collective. Exactly,
statement alone. So people were dropping comments, we're supporting you.
This is the thing. So for one player to kind of take that stand, like, it's huge. And like, I can't like thank Naomi Osaka enough. And like, yeah, just we appreciate her like massively. So big shout out to Naomi Osaka. And yeah, I think moving on now to why we're doing this pod, the US Open is literally on the horizon. So we're staying in New York, obviously, in this bubble. And yeah, things kick off on Monday, which I can't wait. I cannot wait.
I'm like nervous.
Why are you nervous?
Because obviously with tennis, you never know what to expect, but this time is even worse.
Okay.
Do you get what I mean?
As in what, like, results wise?
Yeah. Okay. Just don't know what to expect. Do you get what I mean?
I think since he's kind of shown, I say since, because it's not Cincinnati, but the Western Southern Open has kind of shown us that the level, like, players are out here playing. Like,
no, they're playing, but like, it's the ones who you don't expect to play. Who expect a team to lose on the first round? This is what I'm talking about.
Mr. Pay every exhibition
this
going.
This guy was playing any exhibition. It could be literally in Afghanistan. This guy will go and play. Come to New York now. My guy is losing on the first round.
To be fair, though...
And then you have someone like Med who didn't play any of the exhibition, and he made it to what, quarterfinals or something like that?
Yeah. I say one team, and I don't want to spend too much time talking about Dominic Thiem, but Filip Krajinovic, who he lost to, like, he was playing like just out, like literally inspired tennis like the whole week. I think he got to the quarterfinals and lost to Rajinic. But yeah, his level, like, unbelievable. And like, he beat Thiem in like, I think it was 2-1 or something stupid. So I wasn't, obviously, it was surprising to see Thiem lose, like, as in literally his first
round.
Yeah, well, it was a second
even
round.
Even him, he was confused. He literally said, I don't know. Like, he didn't even have
But
the
when
answers.
You when you watch the match, you can see Krajinovic did play to like a high level. So fair play. But yeah, on the US Open, so let's start with the men's. So we've got Felix Auger-Aliassime, who's the 15th seed going into the US Open, which is like, yeah, very exciting, like I said. So Auger-Aliassime, he opens up against Thiago Monteiro of Brazil. I'm going to say he should win that quite comfortably.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's a nice kind of opening round for Felix.
I think a lot of the players have...
Yeah, it gets a bit tricky. So Mikael Jimmer, the Swede, he has Filip Krajinovic, who beat Dominic Thiem. So that's going to be tough Mikael Jimmer. But again, I think I'm very excited to see that match, because yeah, I think Jimmer's been playing before the whole lockdown. He had a good Australian Open. He lost to the Russian, I forgot his name now, Karen Khachanov, that's it, in five sets. And that was a really good like long five setter. So I'm excited to see how Jimmer does in that first round. And then we've got Francis Tiafoe, our guy. He's taking on Andreas Seppi of Italy. Again, that's a winnable match for Tiafoe, I'm going to say. And then you've got Michael Moe, who's a wild card, another American. He's taken on the Portuguese number one, João Sousa. And that's going to be tough for Mo. Like, Sousa's, I'm going to say, top 50. So an established, like, ATP player.
I don't know. Again, you just never know.
But this is the thing.
I feel like a lot of the smaller players have really pulled out during this whole COVID thing.
Yeah.
Like, especially this tournament alone. I feel like a lot of them has really, like, come out and played well. So you really never know.
So I think those opening rounds, for me, like, I'm going to say they're all winnable matches, mm-hmm. but Yima probably has the toughest one because obviously Krajinovic is in form
mm-hmm.
and he's the 26th seed. So, like, yeah, he's seeded. Yeah, so yeah, you've got to take that seriously. On the women's side now, so let's start with the seeds. Obviously, Serena, she's the number three seed.
Mm-hmm.
And she starts against Christiane, who's American as well.
I think she is, yeah.
So she's been really popular, like, during lockdown, like on TikTok and stuff. She's been posting all those videos.
Yeah, just going in. Funny. I'm not gonna lie.
And then you've got Naomi Osaka, who's the fourth seed. She opens up against another Japanese player, Masaaki Doi.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that's winnable, obviously, for Osaka.
Yeah.
And then Madison Keys, who's the seventh seed. Mm-hmm. She faces Tamia Babos. That's gonna be. I'm gonna say that's winnable again.
And plus, Keys, she has a good result in the US Open. True. She's always made it quite further.
Indeed. And then you've got Sloane Stephens, who's the 26th seed. She starts against Mihailia Berzinescu.
Stephens, I am on my knees.
So we're on my knees. For me, those first rounds are looking pretty good for our girls there, I think.
Please. I really like. I just want everyone to just pull through, please. This is do it for the culture, fam.
Everyone, just do it for the culture, please. I like that. And then again, I've said this is gonna be like quality. These are quality first rounds. Concerning Venus Williams, Coco Gauff, and Jasmine Paolini.
Mm.
So Venus, she takes on the 20th seed Karolina Muchova.
Yeah.
That's gonna be tricky.
And do you know what? I don't know if you saw it, the US Open actually switched. Serena's getting the day match and Venus is actually getting the night one.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so...
Interesting.
I'm happy to see that.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
I'm happy to see that.
And then Coco Gauff, she takes on the number 31 seed, Anastasia Sevastova. It's going to be tough again.
I think that's the one that's giving me a little bit anxiety. Yeah. I'm not going to lie.
Sevastova...
All of the first rounds...
Yeah,
that's the one that's really giving me, you know.
Sevastova, she beat Serena in the Fed Cup before the whole lockdown, and that was like a huge thing for her.
But Sevastova is actually a good player.
She's a good player. But I'm saying before that match, I don't think Serena had lost a singles rubber in Fed Cup.
In Fed Cup, yeah, that's true. Which is nuts. That's why people were making such a big deal.
So that's gonna be tough for Coco, but. Again, like, as we've said
again,
many
guys,
a time.
You just never know.
And, like, with Coco Gauff, it's so weird that, like, a 16-year-old, she goes into, like, a lot of her matches now as, like, being the favourite.
Yeah.
And, like, it's kind of wild to think that, but
fair
play to her. And then Paolini, the Italian, she takes on Caroline Garcia. That's going to be tough. Garcia, who beat...
Paolini. Garcia. Okay, yeah.
So, Garcia, she beat Sloan,
and then Azarenka pulled her out though.
Exactly. That went to three sets though.
No, but I think she can beat Garcia.
Yeah, because Paolini, she's feisty, so yeah, I would not be surprised if.
I think she can beat Garcia.
And Garcia is very inconsistent, so depending on
exactly
how she's feeling, that's going to be a long match. I think that's going to go the distance, so we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
And then interesting, you've got like same nation duels. I've called this so. We've got like a battle of the Brits going on between Heather Watson and Johanna Konta.
Listen,
who we're not
said MAGA fam. They said make America great again. They said nah fam, get these British people knocked out quickly.
So that's gonna be interesting. The British number one taking on the British number two.
I really wish Heather Watson just.
Oh man, again, do it for the culture.
Do it for the culture.
Do it for
guys.
The culture, Heather.
Do it for the culture. Begging you, please. Because concert out of nowhere, my girl was making it to quarterfinals, semifinals. Like, hold on a minute, where is this girl coming from?
Don't
a whole concert.
So And then another like same nation or all American duel is against, well, it's Taylor Townsend taking on Sasha Vickery, who obviously we spoke to Sasha Vickery earlier in the year. And that's going to be a very interesting first round, I think.
It's tough
to call. On paper, Townsend should win because she's
she's
a higher ranked, higher ranked player. But it's tough, like, because I think they played against each other in some exhibitions during the whole lockdown.
Okay.
And I want to say Vickery beat Townsend. Okay. I'm not 100% sure, so don't quote me on that. But that could go either way. Mm. Like, so interesting to see how that plays out. And then finally, we've got some exciting American teenagers. Whitney Osigwe, who's 18 years old. Hayley Baptiste, who's also 18. Robin Montgomery, who's 15. And 16-year-old Katrina Scott. They've all been given like wild card, or they're all in the main draw basically. So Osigwe, she takes on
All of them Americans.
Yeah, all American. All American teams.
MAGA.
All American teams. So we've got Osigwe, she's taking on Katerina Kozlova. Don't know much about Kozlova. Baptiste, she's taking on Kristina Melendenovic, who's the 30th seed. That's going to be tough. The French girl.
Okay.
That's going to be very, very tough for Baptiste. And this is going to be Baptiste's Grand Slam debut as well, which is like huge. Okay. Yeah.
But again, just never know.
We've got Montgomery, the 15-year-old. She takes on Yulia Putintseva, who's the 23rd seed. I think that's going to be tough.
Mm-hmm.
And I can see that. Yeah, I hope that's a long one, because I can kind of see that being like a kind of back and forth. And then you've got Scott taking on, I don't know how you pronounce this girl's name, Natalia. Can you say that last name? Natalia V.
Natalia. Oh, hell no. I
don't have to say
that.
Natalia.
Let's just say Natalia V for now.
V. Kellenseva. Oh, I'm so sorry if I butchered your name. I'm really sorry about that. But yeah, that's literally the roundup as far as like Black Spin's concerned. So again, like, just some really interesting matchups. And yeah, I can't wait for it all to kick off. I really
honestly
can't.
Yeah.
Who's your favourite to win just across the
in
board?
General.
So yeah, men and women, who are your favourites?
For women, obviously Serena.
Though people are saying, oh, she's lost the Serena factor.
Who are those people? Irrelevant.
Okay.
Obviously,
and not Osaka. You've not been impressed with Osaka.
I didn't finish,
oh,
bro.
Sorry.
Serena or obviously Osaka. Again, I hope she recovers from her injury.
And they're both, I think, on separate ends of the draw, so they can't meet until the final.
Yeah,
so thank God.
Which is good,
because
then I don't have to pick between both of them. But for now, those are really... And to be honest, I just want to make it clear, I'm not saying Osaka because only because of what happened this week. Again, I've been...
We're fans,
A fave, like, she's been my fave and stuff, and it would be nice if she won it again, since that's her first slam as well, and... I think she's doing really good on these courts as well.
Yeah.
So that's great. So in terms of men, I always struggle with men's, I'm not going to lie. My only thing though with men's in general, I just really want the smaller player to take opportunity with this, since we don't have the big threes, like I said to you before. Yes, I understand Novak is still there, but I feel like if you have only one of the big threes, you have more luck. Do you get what I mean? And I know I'm not the only person that thinks that way. I know all of these players are out here pumping themselves. They're probably literally pop bottles when they find out Federer and Nadal were not playing. They're like, okay, yeah, this is my time.
It's our time right now.
So in terms of men, I actually don't know.
I think you kind of have to say Novak though. Especially how he's just literally come back tonight from,
I don't know, but he's still a bit injured though.
True, he's been going,
and
he's
not
been,
like,
he's
he
been
played
wars.
He didn't really honestly, I don't know how, that's what I'm saying, he's a witch, because I don't know how he did it throughout his tournament, because he wasn't like, he always started bad and then somehow just won along the way.
No, I
so
hear,
what
I
about
hear
you
that.
Anyways,
yeah, I think on the women's side, I'm gonna go Osaka, you know, like if she's fit, hopefully.
Because she was playing really
well.
Yeah,
I've been really impressed with Osaka, man.
She was playing really well. Like, you could see that during lockdown she was working. Yeah. Like, she was not playing. Like, she works a lot on her serve. You know, she was working a lot on her defense. Like, I feel like
what's really like apparent, especially on this surface, and you kind of alluded to it, like the power. Like, so she hits the ball with such like ferocity, and like the way it like kicks up on this court, I think that's gonna really like play
100%
like in her favor, or work 100%. In her favor.
Yeah.
Obviously, Serena, you gotta say Serena's up there, of course, because it's Serena. But
you just never know.
This is the thing. So, but I'm gonna say, if I had to pick someone to win from the women's side, I'm gonna say Osaka. On the men's side, I think it's more open, and like you
that's what I'm saying. It's really difficult. I feel like, I don't know.
With Novak, obviously, like you said, he's kind of been through the wars this week. He's had the trainer come on, like, I think literally every match.
Yeah.
I don't think he had the trainer come on in this final.
Maybe Med, you know?
Med, the finalist from last year, runner-up. Who am I going to go for on the men's side?
Maybe Med. He really surprised us. I always said either Med or Team before.
I
still think Team now as well. He can make it at least. I think, anyways, those two can definitely make it at least at the quarterfinals.
I hear that. For the sake of this podcast, though, I'm going to say, if Felix Auger-Aliassime gets past, because he's due to play Andy Murray in the second round, if both of them win their first round.
Yeah, I remember I saw it. I was like,
oof. If Felix beats Andy Murray in the second round...
Yeah, then there's a threat to everyone.
Felix is going to week two, and then we're going to see...
It could be
a fairy tale for Felix Auger-Aliassime.
Cool, say no more.
But then, obviously, that's like my heart, not my head. But if I'm gonna go in my head, I'm gonna say Novak, man. Like, you have to. Like, it's boring, but yeah, that's the guy. Like,
no, I know he's gonna win, but I just don't want to say it.
It's the guy.
I just don't want to say it because I want to, you know, spread some positivity into this universe, and I want someone else to win that slam. I'm kind of bored of the, unless it's Federer that's on the final, I don't really care. Yeah. But I'm kind of bored of the big threes winning the slams. I really want someone else to bag it. And I feel like this is a great opportunity. Let's just make, you know, tennis a bit more, you know, spicier.
I hear that. I think to end it, how have you found the drip? So obviously and obviously we're not getting paid by any of these like manufacturers, but
soon.
Exactly, yeah, I like that. But yeah, Nike, they've kind of been everybody's been talking about the Nike gear. So
it
it's like
the men's one. I liked it
because it's like a throwback to like Andre Agassi era. It's a I don't know, like, it's, I think on certain players it looks better.
So I preferred Ontiafo than Felix.
Oh really? I hear that. I like the combination.
I didn't like France's the woman one. I feel like it was just a hot mess.
I did like Osaka's, but she's not
I like Osaka. Yeah. Obviously, you know, Osaka and
because there's levels to this.
You people wearing the same thing. We're not the same, bro. I'm talking about like the others in general. It was just, I didn't like it. I loved Osaka's one. I wish Serena wore that catsuit. Oh, I don't know why she didn't wear it the entire time. I think she just keep on wearing catsuits, to be honest.
I know. Let's hope she starts off in the catsuit.
Although Eugene called it batty shorts. She's like, she needs to wear them batty shorts. I was dead.
The technical term is batty riders, but anyway.
Okay, batty riders. Sorry, guys, I'm back again.
That's another thing with the US Open. You always get like outlandish like clothing.
Yeah, I hope they still make the effort, just because, you know.
No, because I think that's going to be it now. So what we saw for Cincinnati, that's,
is that what they're going to wear for the?
I'm pretty sure that's like the US swing.
Okay, I'm thinking about Osaka and Serena.
Okay, no, Osaka and Serena probably have something different.
Because Osaka last year, she had the best.
Yeah, I think she said that's probably been her best.
Yeah, yeah. But that was like, to me, that literally top five easily. I loved that orange and black. Yeah, and it was nice.
I'm gonna say shout out to Fila as well, Fila Tennis, because I think it was Diego Schwartzman. He was wearing like it's like a multicolored like t-shirt, but it looked quite cool, I thought. And it,
I don't think I saw it.
I'm pretty sure it's Fila. He's sponsored by. Okay. So yeah, look out for that. But I think that wraps it up, Lucy.
Yeah.
Unless there's anything else.
No, just stay tuned for our next episode, which is going to be when we will find out
indeed
who is the US Open winner. And hopefully it will be black people.
So yeah, guys, again, appreciate you all tapping in. And yeah, enjoy the US Open, which kicks off literally in a matter of...
And stay tuned with our tweets and indeed posts and stuff.
Indeed. So yeah, we thank you for listening and...
Wear your mask.
Take care until next time, Mindy. Bye, guys. Thank you. Okay.